the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Friday, let's do this. I can already tell this one's going to be fun. I can tell the mood everybody's in. This is going to be fun. We currently have absolutely no contributors on the schedule at all. They might show up. They might not. We have nothing. So that means it's just you and it's me and it's all of you listening.
And all of us.
I put together another edition of Who Are You?
Who are you?
Yeah. So we're going to, nice job.
Yeah.
So we're going to play that and then have all kinds of fun because... this is all Tyreek Hill's fault.
Well, I mean, that's... You and I can get into it. I don't want to interrupt you.
Actually...
But I vehemently disagree.
I'm sorry. You're right. Let me restate this. This is all the Miami Dolphins' fault. It's not Tyreek's fault because I would argue a lot of us in society, we get kind of hammered for doing things that everybody would do, similar to what Juwan Jennings is doing right now. If you could ask for more and would get more, wouldn't you do it? Wouldn't you do it?
Yep.
Okay? If you do hit that lotto tomorrow night, wouldn't you take it? I would argue you don't deserve it. All you did was go to a gas station with two $1 bills. What the hell do you deserve $1 billion for? You didn't start a company. You're not a real estate magnate. Like, what'd you do? But you'll take it, won't you? You'll take it. And you won't start handing all of it out to everybody you know. Maybe a little bit. You and I do have an agreement. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. And so I don't blame Tyreek Hill for getting $30 million a year. I blame the Miami Dolphins the same way I blame the Cleveland Browns for taking the quarterback market where they did with Deshaun Watson. And it caused owners around the league to collude to try to get the quarterback market to depress just a little bit, to not have to fully guarantee 4- and 5-year contracts for players in an incredibly physical sport. But that one doesn't offend us as much because we all damn well know the importance of the quarterback. But I think we've got a very healthy debate to have today about the importance of the wide receiver. And I'm you know what? I want to give credit where it's due. You want to know where this conversation started?
Tell me.
My daughter. We're driving around today, and we're sampling a little bit of 95.7 The Game. We're running some errands together, and she's a huge Niner fan, and she wanted to say a thing or two, damn it, about Juwan Jennings, but she wanted to understand what exactly is going on, and she'll, on one breath, go, well, they need to pay him. I love Juwan Jennings. I said, right. Does he deserve more than Christian McCaffrey does? And she goes, well, no. Okay, let's talk about this and let's have an open conversation about what's actually going on. It is my belief that over the last 4 to 5 years in the NFL, wide receivers have all gotten their brains scrambled. And I say this again, this is no shot at Juwan. I've spent the last 3 weeks supporting his effort, at least, to try to get more money off of what he did last year. But I thought it was pretty revealing yesterday to talk to Tim Kawakami, and some things came out of his mouth that I think made all of us go, whoa, an extension for $20 million a year? What on earth are you? And again, I don't know that to be true, but I trust him.
Sure.
What are we talking about? What are we talking, $20 million a year for Juwan Jennings in the midst of Brandon's 30 and Ricky Pearsall being a first rounder. What are we talking
about? Yeah, he's not looking
about?
At it in those terms, but if
Who's
you're not, like, Juwan's not thinking, well, you drafted Ricky and Ayuk's making 30, so I can't ask for 20. He's looking at what he did and where that ranks among last year. And last year, he had one of the 20 best receiving years in the National Football League. So you're thinking, all right, get me one of the 20 best contracts because I just earned it. And that, unfortunately, is not the way it works. And right. You can blame Miami. You can blame Cleveland for Deshaun Watson. Bad organizations make bad decisions. I look at other things like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy could have gone the Brandon Ayuk route and said, I want to reset the market. I'm that guy. And Devontae Smith in Philly could have done the same thing. But both players basically said, yeah, what they offered me is enough. I don't need to be that guy. So for me, it comes down to a couple different things. One is you got to know your personnel and know how they're going to go about their free agency or their contract negotiations. And that's where I think the Niners are caught off guard by Juwan Jennings.
Well, here's what I've been thinking about a lot. And the Niners are complicit. You're absolutely right. You know what I mean? The Niners are part of this. So I can blame the Miami Dolphins, but then we have to subsequently blame every other team who's given their wide receiver $30 to $40 million. The Lions, you're complicit. The 49ers,
the Bengals.
The Bengals are completely.
The Vikings.
The Bengals have taken the baton from the Dolphins and worsened it. They're annoying all of their defensive stars and have two receivers being paid in the top 11, including the number one. Jamar Chase, who has broken the $40 million year mark in terms of average annual value. But this is something that got pointed out to me last year by Ephraim, my Sunday partner, and I want to share it with you and get your reaction to it. So think about what happened last year. The wide receiver market is going through the roof for a number of years. Meantime, what's happening to the running back market? The running back idea was, well, these guys break down quicker and they are more replaceable. Shout out anyone with the last name Shanahan. We could just put pretty much anybody back there and get a whole lot of production. So whenever that running back is up for a big extension, we'll just kindly move on and we will replace that player. So let's look at five players around the league and look at what happened. The Titans didn't want Derrick Henry. He goes to the Ravens. The Raiders didn't want Josh Jacobs. He ends up on Green Bay. Cincinnati didn't want Joe Mixon. He goes over to Houston. The Giants did not want Saquon Barkley.
I mean, who would?
And he goes to the Eagles. And the Packers, who both were on the receiving end of Jacobs, were also guilty of not wanting Aaron Jones. And he goes to the Minnesota Vikings, and what are the five receiving a good veteran running back teams all have in common? See you in January. All five of them.
Sure.
All five of them. But the Bengals are out here going, look at our receivers. Cool. Cool story. Look at your receivers. You're out. And the Niners are over here going, look at our Debo, Brandon. Whoo, we're going to have a great year. And you go 6-11.
6-11.
And what happened also in the midst of 6-11? Your superstar running back got hurt, and it cratered everything that was going on around the team. Yes, it wasn't the only reason, but it was a big one. So, man, to me, I don't know if this is what's going on in the Niners' minds right now, but this whole thing's out of whack, and somebody needs to stop it. Juwan Jennings is not in this conversation.
No, he's not an A-list in the league. He's not a B-list. He's a C-plus receiver in league circles. And so if you want to get that A-minus or that B-plus money, it's just not happening when you already pay Brandon Ayuk. And if you want to go through the receivers who make the most and how their teams do, like Jamar Chase, the Bengals went to one Super Bowl, and that was before he was making that money. And Justin Jefferson, now you got a rookie quarterback. And Garrett Wilson at number five, I don't know where the Jets are going to be this year, yep, but probably not a Super Bowl threat. So all these teams that are paying their receivers big money, it's not like you are on the doorstep of a title. And the interesting one, though, is Philly.
Yep.
And Philly won the Super Bowl with two high-paid wide receivers, but they kind of did it without really needing them to both have huge games.
One of them was reading books on the sideline.
Totally, yep.
And very annoyed, by the way, and outspoken about it. So I think there's more to discuss here. For sure, we'd love to hear from you. Who do you see as more important to winning, wide receivers or running backs in 2025? 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Cars for Kids. Cars with a K. Let's do Friday. It's Willard and Dibs.
I almost said a bad word there.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I'm not trying to hate on wide receivers. It's just out of whack. That's all I see.
Well, it's also out of fact, if you want me to spit some facts about it. Well, teams that run the ball successfully win more than teams that rely on throwing the ball.
So which part is out of fact?
It's a fact that the running back is, in my opinion, more important than the receiver. If you have a really good running back or a really good running game, you're more likely to be a winning team. And I went back to the start of the Shanahan era, and in that era, which is now 8 years, 28 times a team has had more rushing attempts than they have had passing attempts. Of those 28 times, 20 of them have made the playoffs. And that is a little bit of a, it's a good sample.
Yeah.
There's some oddities in there, such as, well, last year, for example, five teams ran it more than they passed it. All five of them made the playoffs, including Philly, who ran it almost 200 more times. They won the Super Bowl. And then 2 years ago, Chicago was one of those teams that ran it more than they passed it. They went 7-10. And it's a little bit of an anomaly because their quarterback was a rookie, and they didn't want him to throw it, which is why they ran it slightly more than they passed it, and they went 7-10. But what I learned over my deep dive is that teams that run it, yes, normally you have the lead, and so you can run it, but when you can run it, that means you have a good running back or a good running game. And so for me, you look at those teams with the high-paid receiver, you're more likely to be a very good team if you have a high-paid running back who does well.
Well, I agree with you, number one. And then number two, I'm just looking at this list. And so Tyreek Hill started this. That doesn't make it his fault. I would have taken it too. By the way, Tyreek Hill's agent, maybe a familiar name in this Juwan Jennings conversation. His name is Drew Rosenhaus.
Oh, boy.
Exact same agent. And that's what started this. And the Chiefs correctly said exactly what John Lynch said the other day. We're not doing that. So the Dolphins said we will, and off you go. And checks notes. How have the Dolphins done since that trade? Oh, I know that a couple of you, self-included, by the way, have had fun with fantasy with Tyreek Hill. Great for fantasy. But how are the Dolphins doing? I know they wiggled their way into the playoffs. If memory serves, I believe 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, they went and traveled to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And they got their doors blown off. So
26-7.
They got the doors blown off.
I mean,
so, look around the league.
They were only down 10-7 early second. Well, Tyreek Hill with a 53-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it's exciting. I bet that
from Tungavailoa.
Nice moment for him. But I mean, if you do look around at the teams that are expected to be really good this year, of course some of them are paying wide receivers. Some of them are. Yeah, you can't all avoid it. I'm not saying that there aren't some really good ones out there. But what do the Bills do? The Bills aren't paying receivers. What about the Chiefs? Chiefs aren't paying receivers. What about the Ravens? Ravens aren't paying receivers. The Eagles are paying two receivers. I don't know what the hell they got going on there where they're able to pay a quarterback, two receivers, a running back, and have a great offensive line and a defensive line. That sounds like the GM of the year to me. The Niners are paying receivers until last year. Obviously, that's a really good football team, but the Rams just moved on from a receiver. The Broncos are coming up. They're sort of paying one receiver. The Chargers, that's a pretty good team. They just rebooted their receiver room, got rid of their high-priced guys, draft someone, rookie deal, Ladd McConkey. So what is it that is making everybody want to bend over backward and go $30 million to $40 million for a receiver? What is, other than I get that those wide, they're big names, they're marketable, they're big in fantasy, right? They're kind of the, it's the NFL version of the ha-ha. if you will. No, it is. You know what I mean? They got sex appeal. They got pizzazz. And that matters. So, yes, you have to pay for that. But I don't know if you need to pay this. It's not like it's going to lead to you winning games. And Juwan's wonderful year, from which he wants to get paid, they didn't win. They didn't win. Now, that's not his fault at all. But I just think that this is out of whack. And it's not their fault, but wide receivers' brains have been scrambled. And it's why so many of them are holding out and asking to and getting traded over the last 4 years.
I don't know if the wide receivers' brains are scrambled, but the whole system is somewhat out of whack. And that part I can kind of give you credence to. But then you look at the list of guys. Jamar Chase last year led the league in catches, yards, touchdowns. He was amazing.
Yep.
And I don't believe they made the playoffs.
They did not.
So is that Jamar's fault?
No.
Is it the franchise's fault? They found a guy who is A1. He's probably going to go number one overall in our fantasy draft. More on that later in the show, as we now have some details emerging about the construct. But, you know, Jamar Chase is a guy that you pay because he's that good. Amon-Ra St. Brown, they went 15-2. And he was number two in catches, and he was amazing, and they hope to be good again. So it's a little bit hit and miss when it comes to, like, do you pay the guy, and is that going to lead to winning?
Always exceptions. But let me ask you this with the Detroit Lions, and I actually don't know off the top of my head. How old is Amon-Ra St. Brown?
25 last 20, year.
Is that it?
He
really?
He'll be 26 in October. Born in Anaheim Hills.
I did not realize he was that young.
26.
Okay, so this is an interesting one.
Amon-Ra Julian Heru J. St. Brown.
Amon-Ra got paid. And I don't think the Lions regret that one bit. I think he's moving into the second year of that deal. Usually there's an out after three. I'd have to line this up. I don't have the info in front of me. But let's say that Jahmyr Gibbs is ready for a bag. It's time for Gibbs to get a bag. And the Lions are forced into a decision. If we give Gibbs the bag, we're probably going to have to exercise that contract out from Amon-Ra St. Brown. And we'll probably have to move on. Or we could just get into a New York Giants Barkley situation with Gibbs. And we can keep Amon-Ra as he approaches age 30 and move on from Jahmyr Gibbs. What would you do?
Yeah, you'd probably keep Amon-Ra and move off of Gibbs.
You would?
I think
it'll be a worse football team.
Well, it depends on how you're constructing your team. And if David Montgomery's still there, you still have a good running back. And I do think that it comes down to that year in the draft and what you feel like you can replace better than the other person you can replace. The Amon-Ra contract is interesting because a lot of the money was not guaranteed at signing. It was $35 million guaranteed at signing.
You spent most of the show arguing that the running back is more important, but you'd pick Amon-Ra over Jahmyr Gibbs?
In this case, yes, you've got David Montgomery.
I don't know what his contract situation is at all. Like, David Montgomery is plodding and effective. Jahmyr is electric.
Right.
He brings a complete... That's kind of like saying you don't need McCaffrey because you have Brian Robinson.
I feel. Well, and McCaffrey on this team is more important than Gibbs is on Detroit, I would say, compared to Amon-Ra and Laporta, the tight end.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, and I don't...
Yeah.
I mean
the
we'll
Niners
see how this plays
Kittle,
out.
You know? Anyway.
But they got Pearsall, and Detroit's got Amon-Ra, who is better than Pearsall maybe will ever be, hopefully not, but right now... Amon-Ra St. Brown is better than Ricky Pearsall, and David Montgomery is better than Brian Robinson Jr.
Yeah, well, I mean, David's getting up there again. I'm sort of, again, the way NFL teams are thinking about this, you're projecting forward when you get into these cap situations. And so there's a reason that you have that contract out after 3 years or whatever it may be, and it's to kind of stay ahead of the curve. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs is about to go into a period of his career where he is one of the most important players in the league. He's a complete game changer. Amon-Ra is wonderful, but they've got Jameson Williams, who I think is a really good receiver. If we're going to look at who else you've got on your roster, like who's more replaceable, who grows on trees more, I would argue there are more people who can do Amon-Ra light than Jahmyr Gibbs light in this league. And furthermore, Jahmyr Gibbs will cost you half as much. That's what I'm talking about.
And we'll see. After this year, Jahmyr will be entering the fourth year of his rookie deal.
But no running backs even hit 20 yet, have they? Nobody's even hit 20.
20 million.
Yeah.
Average annual? I thought
What is Christian up to? I think he's at 18 or 19.
Yeah, I have it right here, but I just was looking at Jahmyr, and he's up. He's not up, but Saquon's at 20.6.
Okay.
McCaffrey's at 19, and then a big drop to Derrick Henry at 15, and then Jonathan Taylor.
So Saquon Barkley, who I think most of us would argue, like, that's why the Eagles won the Super Bowl. If I got a list of reasons, that's my first reason.
Sure.
And he is just barely, and the only running back who's touched 20. And here's Juwan Jennings over here, who also wants 20 or north of it, so that he can be just in the top 25 in receivers.
Right.
You're telling me that Ja'Marr Chase is double Saquon Barkley? It's out of whack.
Completely.
It's totally out of whack.
And because of that, and I don't think that, for me anyway, I don't look at Tyreek Hill and say, thanks, Tyreek, you kind of ruined it.
No,
it's all these teams, including the Niners.
Absolutely.
The Niners giving Brandon Ayuk 30 has made it so if you are Juwan Jennings and you look at Ayuk, you think, I'm at least half the player that he is. And honestly, if you're Juwan, you're thinking that you're closer to two-thirds of the player or maybe even more than that, considering you're healthy and he's not. And so you're sitting here trying to play out your last year of your deal on whatever, $5 million or $7 million, whatever the actual number is. And I get where you'd be a little angry, but the whole thing is out of whack. And all these teams who keep making these mistakes in contracts, it doesn't mean you have to keep making mistakes.
I agree with that. Yeah, no, it's just more, it's not Tyreek's fault. The Dolphins started it. And then everybody joined in on the, you know what I mean? The Dolphins were the ones who jumped off of the bridge into the lake, and then all of their friends went, that looks fun, and they all jumped off, and you're all stupid. Larry and Hayward. Hi, Larry. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. So when you guys play fantasy football, what do you see going off the top board on the first and second round most? Do you see running backs or wide receivers?
Well, it's changed over the last couple of years, Larry. Like, it used to be absolutely in ink that people were grabbing the running backs as quickly as possible. Now it has started to slant a little bit more toward receivers, no doubt. Part of that is because a lot of teams are throwing the ball a lot more. But you can make healthy arguments for Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley. You're watching all of these guys go in the top half of the first round as well. Like, I bet at the end of a normal first round, you're looking at almost a 50-50 split in terms of wide receivers and running backs, maybe a touch more wide receivers.
And then now you got Juwan Jennings that wants more than Saquon Barkley. I mean, I think Saquon Barkley was the reason why the Eagles won the Super Bowl, not because of their wide receiver core.
I agree. And Larry, thank you. I mean, I guess the point that I'm getting at is I wonder. And it's too late, you know what I mean? Like, the toothpaste is all over the counter now.
Out of the tube?
Yeah, but don't you think it'd be better if a football team, when somebody wanted a new contract, they could sort of, like, the comparison would be, like, what's your importance to this team? And what's your importance to winning football games? But instead, it's solely, like, what are the other people at my position make around the league? And there's no other way to do it. That's the way you do it. But it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy that Brandon Ayuk makes $3 for every two that Christian makes. That's nuts.
Yeah.
That is positively, that's lunacy.
Well, and that's the 49ers who screwed it up. And I'm not just saying this because he got hurt. I'm saying it because of the way the 49ers are built. And that's where you're just laying that out like, yeah, the market's going to determine what you make based on the market. Well, that's fine, and that's actually true, but you look at Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy didn't get top of the market because, in part, of his situation. He wasn't yet a restricted or unrestricted free agent. He still had a year in his deal, and he's really good in this system. So there are factors that play into all these things, and that's where I look at Juwan. And, yeah, you look at just last year, he was a top 20 wide receiver in the NFL, it doesn't automatically mean that you are that valuable to this team, your team, when, you know, they've got other guys who can probably approximate what you do.
I mean, I don't know. That, again, the toothpaste is out of the tube. I'm not suggesting that, like, the 49ers launch some sort of protest. In a way, they already are. But they're not doing it at the top of the market because Juwan Jennings is not a top-of-the-market player. But the quarterback thing did correct itself a little bit. You're still seeing guys get between $50 and $60 million, but it corrected off of the Deshaun Watson deal. In other words, not everybody's getting full guarantees. In fact, almost nobody.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins only.
Although, and Cousins was before Deshaun.
Right.
So he did it first, then Deshaun did it, and then owners are like, we're not doing that. So, like, collectively, and whether it was collusion or not, up to you, but they're not doing that anymore. I wonder if there is a way to slowly start the process of undoing this. And I thought last year was such a perfect advertisement for it. Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, you know, Joe Mixon, all of these great years by running backs that had been tossed aside by their previous teams. Not even traded. Just, you leave. Just leave. And then somebody else would come in and grab them. And then, boom, they would have a great year. What a great advertisement. Meantime, here's the Bengals paying two guys and not making the playoffs. I'm like, this is a perfect advertisement for, guys, the market's out of whack. But it didn't stop. The Bengals, with the information that they didn't make the playoffs and their defense was awful, immediately marched into the negotiating room and paid both of their receivers. I don't get it. So, I support Juwan's effort here.
Right.
But if these numbers are accurate, he's wrong, and I support the Niners saying no.
I think that he's in the wrong place for it, and it all comes down to situation and circumstance, and that's where Juwan Jennings had a great year for the wrong team at the wrong time. In other words, the Niners, even last year when they threw it more than they ran it, and they did that because they had to, when things are good with the 49ers, and I've looked at every single year, Mark, under Shanahan, when they run it more than they pass it, they either go to the NFC Championship or they go to the Super Bowl. So you're Juwan, and you had a big year on a bad team. It was the wrong year at the wrong time on the wrong team because this team has already overvalued a receiver,
yep, and regretted,
and they're not going to overvalue another guy. And they traded a boombox guy because he was making too much money, and he was heading toward the downside of his career, and now they don't want to do the same thing with Juwan Jennings. So wrong year, wrong team, wrong time.
I'm not saying that you don't pay any of them. I don't think you should have to pay them this much, but again, too late. So if you are Justin Jefferson, sure, I would do that. If you are Ja'Marr Chase, yeah, I would do that. If I were the Bengals, I probably would have tried to trade T. Higgins and lock up Trey Hendrickson and get a better defense.
Yep.
Because you can find a different wide receiver, too, without paying him $28.7 million. Your wide receiver, too. That you know, and by the way,
he's their wide receiver too, but you throw it so much that he's like a 1.5, you know,
and
what I mean?
And why do you throw it so much, Dibs?
Because you have a terrible defense and you need to win 40-39.
Because the other team scores 35 points.
So that's the way they're built, and the Niners are built to where we only have two receivers at a time anyway. Yep. So, all right, Juwan, you want to play hardball? We don't really need you anyway because our number one receiver is Kittle. Our number two is Pearsall. Our number three is McCaffrey. And then we'll get to you.
Yeah. No, and the proof is in the pudding on the Dolphins being the leaders on this because not only did they start it with Tyreek Hill at 30, they've given Jalen Waddle 28.2.
Yeah.
And I actually think Jalen Waddle's a really good player, but he wasn't last year, and that contract looks completely out of whack. Jalen Waddle making $28.2 million. So all of these teams have either had to make a choice, and so, yes, I support the Cowboys paying CD and the Vikings doing Justin and the Bengals locking up Ja'Marr Chase. A.J. Brown's a wonderful player, and Devontae Smith did not want to haggle and get his 25 up to 30. So you can support that. But all over the league, I mean, it did start with the Chiefs being like, no, Tyreek, you're getting traded. DK Metcalf, you're getting traded. Debo Samuel, you're getting traded. Brandon Ayuk, you probably should have gotten traded. A.J. Brown went to the Eagles. How? You got traded. Because these guys are asking for dollars that are making their teams essentially say, I'm either going to go and pay premium dollar for somebody who is really popular and will sell jerseys and will do fantasy football, but it is really going to get in the way of us winning, potentially. And it didn't with the Eagles. And they deserve unbelievable amounts of credit. I'd love to see their books. I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't understand how Devontae and AJ are both north of 25. Jalen Hurts has been paid. Saquon Barkley's getting 20, and you got the best lines on both sides of the ball. Good on you. That's just incredible work from a front office.
Howie Roseman.
But outside of
best
that,
in the business.
Outside of that, I'm looking at all these teams who are like, yeah, man, let's have fun. Well, you're wasted in going home early. The top teams in the league are not on this list. They're just not. They're not. And unfortunately, the 49ers are on here once, and that's not a death blow. But, yeah, don't go on there twice. Don't do it. They are correct if this is what Juwan wants.
Right, and whatever Juwan wants, they clearly don't want to pay it. And the thing about Philly, and I'm just looking at their spot track, a lot of the salaries that you are reporting, they are salaries, but the cap hits are much smaller because I think that they do it the way the Niners do, which is a lot of bonuses. And you've got, you know, Devontae Smith, his cap hit this year is $7.5 million. And A.J. Brown is $17.5 million, the cap hit. So you're able to spread a lot of the bonus money out. So you don't have a ton of guys making a huge cap number this year for Philly, and that's kind of what the Niners have been successful at. But now that you got Brock Purdy heading toward $53 million a year, things are getting a little bit tighter down there in Santa Clara.
No doubt, and I hope everybody actually takes this with them for the next few years. When you start seeing the 49ers, and you already had to do it this year, when you start seeing the 49ers have to make difficult financial decisions that you as a fan don't like, don't look at Brock Purdy. Look at Brandon Ayuk. That's the contract that they regret. And that's not, again, this isn't about fault. Get whatever you can get. But if you want to look at which contract is getting in, is not helping winning and is probably getting in the way of anything else they're trying to do, that's the bad contract, not the quarterback. The quarterback in the 50s, I mean, join the club.
Right.
Everybody's paying their good quarterback in the 50s.
If you've got a good one, you're paying them in the 50s. And I can't help but think about what Seattle did with DK Metcalf, where they didn't give him the Brandon Ayuk contract. Instead, they traded him to Pittsburgh, and they got a second-round pick back. And then Pittsburgh said, yeah, DK, we're going to give you, what, $27 million a year, whatever the number was?
33.
He got 33.
He's number four in the league.
And DK's great.
He's good. He's good. He's very good.
I'll say he's great for the sake of the argument, but you're paying your receiver that much money, and you've got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback?
I want to ask you if you do get the number one pick if you're taking Jamar. Don't answer yet. And 888-957-9570. Wide receiver or running back? Where do you want your money? Where do you want a great player? We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.